If you would, look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 49. We're in a series in Daniel. We're taking, each sermon is taking a chapter at a time. And I want to read this to you. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to manage the province of Babylon. Here's what I want you to see. But Daniel remained. Daniel remained at the king's court. That's what we're going to handle today. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look at all of us today, you see me differently. I'm your teacher, I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment, and just plain language, you're tougher on me than anybody in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can all be seated. I love that last song, Jesse, our drummer, you know, is building that crescendo. I don't know, I told Logan this week, have you all seen that cymbal that you can buy, that drum cymbal that goes on your car air conditioner vent? Have you seen that? Yes? No? I'm going to get me one of those. You can be hand drumming on your phone and boom, hit that cymbal over there. So I'm going to try to find that and make sure that I get it. We're rearranging our service today in our order. Sarah Beth is with us, Ventress, and she's created a mission movement we've known of, we've been a part of. She's going to be sharing about that later on. And then Miss Rose is with us from Kenya, and she's going to be sharing about Tumani, which means hope in her language, and our partnership with that. And I've got a lot to handle. I'm going to move as fast as I can, and we're going to get through this, and then we also want to be blessed from hearing from them. Today in chapter 2, Daniel is going to be handling a statue, a dream of a statue and a stone. And we're also going to be looking, as we handle this statue and this stone, we're going to be handling Daniel. And Daniel, you will, as we go through the book, you're going to find out he's been given a spirit of excellence. And we want to highlight how God is being able to use that. Let's start in Daniel 2, 1 and 3. Let me read to you. It says, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that troubled him, and sleep deserted him. So the king gave orders to summon the diviner priests, mediums, sorcerers, and Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. When they came and stood before the king, he said to them, I've had a dream, and I am anxious to be able to understand it. He's sleep deprived from this dream. It's brought confusion upon him, anxiety upon him, and he's bringing his spiritual team together. Now realize his spiritual team is not dealing with our God. You're going to find out if you read chapter 2, when it talks about their gods, it's lowercase g. When Daniel talks about our God, it's always a capital G. So he's bringing in his spiritual team. Twice he tells them, you need to tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And he's asking that out of just pure nothingness, I want you as my spiritual team to be able to tell me what my dream was and what the meaning is. And twice he tells them that. But they respond back, tell us the dream and then we'll tell you the interpretation. And the king says, no. You've got to be able to tell me both of these. Look at Daniel 2, verse 10 and 11. He said, the Chaldeans answered the king, no one on earth can make known what the king requests. Consequently, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked anything like this of any diviner priest, any medium or Chaldean. What the king is asking is so difficult that no one can make it known to him except the gods. This is important. We're going to come back to this in a minute. Make it known to him except the gods whose dwelling is not with mortals. So we have this situation where this makes the king angry. I want to see how spiritual you all really are. Tell me my dream and the interpretation. And they're battling back and forth. No, no, no. You tell us the dream, then we'll interpret. He goes, no, no, no. You tell me both. And finally, it makes him angry. And he orders Daniel. He orders Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, to execute this spiritual team, put them to death. So in Daniel 2:14, we're going to find how the spirit of excellence is already beginning to churn in the life of Daniel. It said, then Daniel responded with tact. We see in a spirit of excellence emerge here. And discretion to Arioch, who is the commander of the king's guard, who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. And we're seeing Daniel's leadership, it's already emerging, but it's getting to emerge even more. So after a period of time, Daniel asked Arioch, this commander, that go to the king and ask for more time. There's a reason he's doing for that. In a moment, we'll see it. But he's about saving lives and getting to this mystery of the dream. Daniel is saving the lives of the king's spiritual team and also his team. Plus, Daniel is going to go to God. He's going to go to God to help solve this mystery. It's important for us even to remember, don't ever forget, because we'll handle it again the third time in a moment, that they're saying only their gods could figure it out. And it's important to know that Daniel is saying, no, my God will figure it out. Daniel 2, verses 17 through 19. Said, then Daniel went to his house, told his friends, Hananiah, which is Shadrach, Mishael, which is Meshach, and Azariah, whose name is Abednego, about the matter. Verse 18, urging them to ask the God of heaven for mercy. Do you see that? Ask the God of heaven for mercy concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his friends would not be killed with the rest of Babylon's wise men. Verse 19, the mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night, and Daniel prays the God of heaven. I want you to go back to verse 18 for just a moment, and I want you to see where it says, urging them to ask the God of heaven. Do you do that? You all know I've been on a wave since COVID of telling you to go to your Heavenly Father. When you're anxious and you're overwhelmed and you don't know what to do and you don't know which end is up and you're in a season of your life that you can't understand, I, as a pastor, am always going to challenge you to go to the Father. You're going, well, I go to my friends. I'm not telling you to go to your friends. Go to your friends after you've gone to the Father. Let's learn to go to the Father first. Amen. And then go to whomever next. We've got it really in a reversal. And he's going to ask God for the mercy and for mystery, the mystery. And I just have to ask the preacher question because that's what I am. Do we do this too? Do we just pause in the middle of the day? Do we just pause in the middle of it all and just say, there are things I need to just ask you. I need to present to you. I need to include you in on this. I need to know how you feel about it. Warren Wiersbe is an old writer, but I like him, I guess because I'm becoming an old preacher. But he said, Daniel goes to God's throne. He goes to God's throne, and Daniel is not ever afraid. He's not ever afraid of the king's throne. If you and I have an incredible privilege of going to God's throne, you and I should never, ever be afraid of any other throne on this planet. Amen. Ever be afraid of that. Daniel, don't forget, he's in captivity. He's left his homeland because they held him captive. He's learning a new language. He's been given a new name. He's in a new culture. They put him in a new school to be able to learn. He's learning new literature. They're even trying to put him in a new diet, which he didn't go with. And we know it's called the Daniel diet or the Daniel fast in chapter 10, the 21-day fast. But he's in a whole different phase of his life, one that he didn't ask for. He didn't ask for it, but he's still going to his God. So going to God's throne, he means that he's not afraid of the king's throne. Daniel 2, 20 through 23, this is his praise. God gives him the mystery. He tells him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And what is the first thing that Daniel does is Daniel declares praise to the Lord. That happens, even today it happened and declared. May the name of God be praised forever and ever. Just blind Bartimaeus is a man who's blind on the side of the road, and he heard the crowd that was with Jesus coming, and he cried out to the Lord for help. And the crowd and the disciples rebuked him and told him to leave Jesus alone. And he cried even louder, the scripture said. And you just, when we're trying to be silenced with the message of Christ, we let be God be praised forever and ever. God be praised forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. And then in his praise, verse 21, he gets into the sovereignty of God. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Verse 22, he reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness. Sometimes you and I will go, Lord, the darkness, the oppression of it all seems so great around me, and it may be. But just know he knows what's in that darkness, and he will lead you through. He will be able to lead you through. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Verse 23, I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you've given me wisdom and power. And now you have let me know what we ask of you, for you have let us know what the king's mystery is. I want you to hang on to this, because if you run through this quickly, I know I'm doing it today, but if you personally run through this quickly, you'll miss it too, because you really have to stare at this and feel it for just a moment. He does not even know yet if his dream and the interpretation even matches the king's yet, but he's already confident that it does. I think that's huge. He's already given thanks to God for what he's revealed to him, knowing that he's confident that his God is true. He's true. So we haven't even gotten to the confrontation with the king yet. He's already established his praise for what he has already known, that God is sovereign and he's in control. And Daniel is going, let's go to the king. He says that to Arioch. Let's go to the king. We don't execute him yet. Don't have us execute him. Let's go to the king. And look at Daniel 2 verses 20 through 26 through 28. Said the king said in reply to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me the dream I had and its interpretation? Now I told you verse 27. I told you earlier on, the Chaldeans said, only person can do this is the gods, lowercase g. Daniel answered the king, no wise man, medium, diviner, priest, or astrologer is able to make known to the king the mystery he asked about. But look at verse 28. But there is a God. But there is a God. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Capital G. Daniel's saying he's my God. Not only that, it's not your spiritual team's lowercase g God, it's my God. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has let King Nebuchadnezzar know what will happen in the last days. Your dream and the visions that came to you in your mind as you lay in bed were these. Before we even get to that, let's pause for a moment and let's just catch up before we get into the dream, the statue and the stone. Let's pause for a moment and just recapture. Daniel completely relies on God. As you get older, the older I get, I'm 65, the older that I get, the more dependent on God I need to become. I don't grow old in my body and my age, and I don't grow old in my faith becoming less dependent on God. Every year my body gets older, and every year my faith matures, I'm going to rely on God more tomorrow than I did today. We don't live to be independent of God. We live to be dependent on God. And here, let's recapture. Daniel is relying on his God in a season he didn't ask for, in a land he didn't want to be in. He's relying on his God. It's about a personal relationship, and he's confident in who his God is because he knows his God. I just don't know that he exists. I know him. I have a relationship with him, and I am confident in him, and I'm in his trust. Tyra, you're going to wear me out today, girl. Y'all going to have to pipe up over here. This group's outdoing you over here. I just want you to know, okay? Maybe y'all don't want to stay as long as they do. I don't know how that goes. But you amening me is like saying sick them to a dog. I just want you to know, all right? Oh, goodness. Where were we? I don't know. There. That's what Georgia Bulldogs do. That's Georgia. That's Georgia right there. So let's get in it. The Lord's good. Amen. We can laugh. Hallelujah. Daniel, let's look at the statue for just a moment. We're going to spend some time here. You're going to want to jot down some notes here. I think this will be very helpful to you, understanding Bible prophecy. I pray to be a plain guy. I'm going to be really plain, but I think this will help you in a lot of your future study. Let's look at the statue, verses 31 through 35. My king, as you were watching, a colossal statue appeared. That statue was tall, dazzling, was standing in front of you. Its appearance was terrifying. The head of the statue was pure gold. Its chest and arms were like silver. Its stomach and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet were partly iron and clay. It's a mix in the feet. Verse 35. Hang on, sorry. Thank you, Travis. As you were watching, a stone broke off without a hand touching it, struck the statue in the feet, in its feet of iron and clay, and crushed them. Then the iron, verse 35, the iron, the fired clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were shattered. This is important, became like chaff or dust from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, and not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain, and it filled the entire earth. I want you to know it's big, tall, dazzling, terrifying, and listen, not much is terrifying to a king. All right? Kings aren't afraid. If they've got great armies and great wealth, they're not afraid. But it became intimidating to King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to put on the screen a picture of this statue. This is going to sound like a social studies lesson for just a moment, but it's very important for you to understand biblical prophecy. And it's really just a real basic step into this. And we want to start with the head of it all. You see, the head of it all is made of gold. That's referring to Babylon. That's where Daniel is right now. Daniel is there. And Nebuchadnezzar would be the king. And even later on, you're going to be able to read where Daniel calls Nebuchadnezzar the king of gold. Because Nebuchadnezzar, Herodotus, was a historian, and he wrote about Babylon. He said it had golden temples, golden altars, golden gates, golden walkways, and even Nebuchadnezzar, his throne was a golden throne. And it's going to move into number two on the left, where it said Medo-Persia or the Medes. They are the people of silver. with the torso being that, and even the arms, which can be represented the span that their empire had. So we're going to be talking about four empires today, and the second one we're dealing with is that one of silver, the Medes and the Persians. Daniel is going to go, he's in Babylon, and the Persians are going to take over, literally almost overnight, take over Babylon. And so Daniel is going to exist in the head of gold, and even in that silver, the Medes Persian area. He's going to, because Daniel goes through four kings, and some of those kings are Persian. So he's going to live in both those worlds for a little bit. And then we get to the third empire. The first empire of the statue would be Babylon. The second empire would be the Medes-Persia empire. The third one would be that girdle or that wrap of bronze. This is Greece. If you need any help with this is Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great became a king when he was 20. Can you imagine that? And his reign went till he was 32. He actually wept because there were no more lands to conquer. And he moved swiftly. His armor was swift. But he's in this bronze category in the dream, because the helmets, the breastplates, the shields were all made of bronze. Then we go to the fourth empire, which would be on the left, the Roman Empire. And it's made of iron. It would become the iron segment of this statue. And I want to remind you, if you know your history, Rome was never defeated by another army. No other army defeated Rome. What happened to Rome was their culture absolutely imploded. Their culture absolutely collapsed from the inside. No other army beat them. You know who captured the Romans? The Romans. Absolutely, the culture collapsed within them. And they are in the legs, or pointing to the calf area, the leg area, and that would be that they were the empire of iron. And this is all the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and God gave Daniel the vision of this. Just remember that Daniel lived in Babylon in the Persian time, but he was giving prophecy to the Greek and the Roman that he didn't live in. And it's all come true. If you need four major empires of the world, these are the four that are there. I want to remind you that even in the feet, it still becomes a Roman mix of iron and clay. And it's the picture of this is Rome's continued influence when it comes into Europe, and even from Europe, even into America. And I want to remind you of something else. When we start at Babylon with the gold and move all the way down, the statue becomes weaker. It becomes weaker and weaker at every stage. Even though it seems like it may be great, it's becoming weaker. Now, let's get to the good hallelujah part of all this. And that is, we're here in the feet area. If I do try to keep things plain for you, and let's look at a football game. I don't know why, but I've absolutely loved Pavia, the quarterback for Vanderbilt. I don't know why. I know they're an opponent. I get it. But that dude, man, he wins, you know? And I love watching that guy just run around everywhere. But in that, if you want to look at this statue as four quarters of a football game, you can use it to help you understand a little bit. Like quarter number one would be Babylon at the head. Quarter number two would be Persia, Medes and Persia. Quarter number three would be Greece and Alexander the Great. And quarter number four would be the Roman Empire. And you're going, well, where are we? Well, we're in the fourth quarter. We're living in the fourth quarter. But you're going to go, how much time's on the clock? And I'm going to look at you and go, I don't know. But from the vision, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and God giving him the mystery of it, the understanding of it, we're in that Roman section, that fourth section, and you're going, well, we're not bound by Rome. There's a lot of Rome influence in a lot of things around us. But we've been in the fourth quarter since the time of Jesus, okay? Because the Roman Empire was the empire that was there, that was handling him. And they were even afraid of him at that particular time. So we're in this long fourth quarter, and I know you want to know how much time there is, but I can't tell you. I don't know how much time there is, but I can tell you that we are there. So I want you to be able to see that. Maybe that helps you in your further study and just gives you a good base, a good home place, a good foundation on which to carry out what you need to carry out in your studies of that. I don't have enough time to break it down any more than I already have. So, but let's get to the explanation of the stone. In the dream, there is this stone that has no hands on it. In other words, it's not being thrown like a baseball, but it's being cast without human hands. And this stone comes down and is going to hit in that foot area, according to the interpretation of it. We'll read about it in a minute. But it's going to hit there and it's going to crumble everything. And it crumbles everything to the point where it's like dust and the wind blows it away, which means all four major empires will one day be swept away. Where Daniel says you can't even find them. They're going to be wiped away. And here's the glory hallelujah time. If some of you have some Pentecostal blood in you, or you just got a good friend that's Pentecostal, or you've got somebody in your ancestry that's Pentecostal, you should have a good time here. That stone that's coming to wipe out this statue is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God only has one king, and that king is Jesus himself. I want, just real simply, let me remind you, the first sermon that Jesus ever preached in the Gospels was he said, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is right here. He is that stone. The kingdom of God is that stone, and King Jesus is that stone. Look at Psalm 118:25 real quickly. You all know this verse, and I'll show you how Jesus used it in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, which is a reference to Christ. But look at Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43, which is where Jesus used this very scripture even about himself. Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This came from the Lord and is wonderful in our eyes, verse 43. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing its fruit. In other words, it's going to become its own entity and it's going to wipe away all the other nations. Look again at Daniel 2, 44 and 45. I told you we're going to run through this, and I am. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, that's the stone being the kingdom of God, that will never be destroyed. How many times have I told you that the church will never be destroyed? Satan, kings, nations will never destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never do it. And the kingdom of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. This kingdom will not be left to another people. It will crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, but will itself endure forever. The kingdom of God is going to wipe out every empire our history has ever known about. It's going to be dust. You're not going to be able to find a trace of it. It will itself endure forever. Verse 45, you saw a stone break off from the mountain without a hand touching it. And it crushed the iron, the bronze, the fired clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has told the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is absolutely certain. It's never going to be destroyed. It's going to endure forever. It's going to crush other kingdoms. Let me give you how you put things together. I'm a country boy, but I'm an educated country boy. If when we pray the Lord's Prayer, why do you think the Lord, it's called the model prayer, but it's called the Lord's Prayer. Why do you think we pray that hallowed be your name. And do you know the next one? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's basically saying, let the stone fly. Because the stone is the kingdom of God. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So just like Daniel, even in the vision of the statue, we have a culture that we're living in that is crumbling. We're watching it crumble. It can become a head shaker and a head scratcher at times in our life. I just want you to know our culture is crumbling, but our God is not crumbling. Our God isn't. He raised Daniel. He went and he raised Daniel. Go to Daniel 2:49, Travis, if you will. He raised Daniel, and Daniel, even after this, you know, the king's like, this is true. This is the dream. This is interpretation. He raises Daniel up for God to be able to use him even greater than he did before. If you need help in understanding the position, just think that Daniel got promoted to a prime minister. And then he moved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into position as well. Guys, I want to speak briefly even about the tragedy of this week with Charlie Kirk. I also want to mention this Ukrainian refugee, Irina, who was on the Charlotte Metro and her being murdered on that Metro. And then all kinds of things, the shooting in Wisconsin, you know, the shooting in Denver, the shooting in Minneapolis. Even very simply, James Dobson's death, who was a hero to me in my generation. We didn't know how to raise kids in our generation. We only had a couple books to be able to read. We raised Andrew, our firstborn, who's 40, by the book. Laura, our daughter, 35, we just threw her a biscuit and said, good luck. You know, we just said, if you'll need us, you'll let us know. But James Dobson was such a pioneer for not only the family, but a family that God had put in order. Amen. He was, and even his death has been tough on me, really, just to be honest. Recently, even locally, my own personal physician died in his sleep. And it just goes on and on and on of things that are happening. They're making me shake my head. They're making me scratch my head on to see what is going on. I just want you to know that we're in a season we may not understand. And you may be going, God, what's happening? What is going on? I just want you to know the same God that oversaw what was going on, was overseeing Daniel's life and what happened with the Babylonian era, all that. It's the same God we have today. We've got to trust the God of Daniel, who is our God. You know, you're going to hear from Miss Rose in a minute, all the way over in Kenya, but she's got to trust the same God that Daniel trusted. It doesn't matter what region of the world you're in or what season you're going through. I want to go back to Daniel 2:49. Daniel remained. We read that in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel remained. We got a lot of things that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't match our earthly logic or reason. Doesn't match it at all. But I you know, when I can't, the old saying is, when I can't see God's hand, I'm going to trust his heart. Right. And I know that he's in control. Do I know everything that he's wanting to do right now? I don't. But I know one day that old stone is coming to tear up and absolutely annihilate that statue. And we got to be ready for that. How much time's on the clock? I don't know. People say we're in the 11th hour on a clock face. Or I don't know. We may be at the 2-minute warning. I don't know. I just know you and I have to remain faithful, just like Daniel. Daniel remained. His faith and trust was in his God. His confidence was in his God. I'm in a place in a land I don't want to be in, but I'm going to remain faithful to the Lord. Look at Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. He who testifies about these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And let's be blessed by the next one. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Hey, listen to me. We're going to make it. The kingdom of God's going to come and it's going to smash that old statue all to pieces. But if you remember from the dream, there's going to be a great mountain raised and it's going to spread throughout all the earth. And it's his mountain. It's him. It's his kingdom. And we're going to reign in that forever and forever and forever. Some of you know the Stewart home comes to our church and they're right down the road. And I'm not going to go through major explanation on the Stewart home. But they're here. They're here on Sunday mornings. And they're the best amen group I've ever had in my life. One of them came up to me after the service. And you know that the Stewart home handles a lot of things with people, students and older, that they have difficulty in our world. But they love the Lord so much. One of them came up to me after the first service and they said, "Will I have a new body when I get to heaven?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she goes, "Thankful." She goes, "Thank you, Lord. I've never had a good body." You know, man, listen, it's not all here. Do y'all hear me? It's in the kingdom. It's going to endure. And we who put our faith and trust in him, he's going to lead us through. Amen? Be like Daniel and remain. Our culture's crumbling, but our God isn't. And our faith and trust is in him. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people. Thank you for them. We've been challenged by your word, your servant Daniel today. And our prayer, Lord, is that we remain like Daniel remained, no matter what season or land that we're in, what's coming on, no matter how our culture is crumbling, we remain. You're sovereign, you have power, you have authority, and your will be done. Lord, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. We pray together. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, find your spot. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.